Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and welcome back to What is Going Om's monthly energy and integration series, in which internationally respected authors, speakers, and spiritual facilitators, Jim Self, Lee Harris, and Susie Miller, join me to share their up-to-the-minute insights into what's going on energetically this month, along with their practical suggestions for helping you stabilize and integrate the energies so you can make the most of the transformational opportunities they're bringing. First up today is founder of Mastering Alchemy, Jim Self, whose course in Mastering Alchemy and eponymous book with their practical energy tools and consciousness altering lessons have helped many thousands of people across the globe. Jim, welcome back.
Hi, Sandy. Always nice to be with you.
You too. Now, you've been saying for a long time that time is speeding up. And once again, it feels as though we've experienced enough events in the last month to fill a year, with headlines reporting more examples of what appears to be going wrong in the world and what needs to be changed. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels to me as though we're being challenged to take stock, to reassess some long-held and possibly outdated beliefs about what's important to us, and to make some much-needed changes to the status quo.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, one of the things that I'm noticing, though, is as we move through this, we have an awareness of the changes in terms of the little blurbs of the news, media, and different things. But it's as if we're really stepped onto a rapidly moving sidewalk, and right alongside of it is another rapidly moving sidewalk. And the backdrop, the environment of what we think is going on is really changing, but it's changing in a pace that the average person is noticing big aspects, global changing, mass migration, challenges like this, but really don't have any frame of reference for this. And one of the things that I think is useful to spiritual people moving forward here is to begin to put some of this into a frame of reference. And that frame of reference, I think, is really about what's going on to a great extent is about the creation of a new human being. It's a creation of a brand new species. And there's a lot of evidence for this, but for the most part, that's not a concept that many would even consider.
Well, yeah, as you say, it's completely out of our frame of reference to even think that there could be such a thing.
Yes, but when you start to look at the big global changes, for example, artificial intelligence that's coming up in a very big way, within 5 years, it's estimated that every function of the brain will be mapped, as an example. You're beginning to look at machine learning and the types of things it's doing. On one hand, this whole aspect of machine learning, artificial intelligence, is going to wipe out hundreds of thousands of jobs, millions of jobs all over the world, in terms of people just don't have a place to go to work anymore because that level of work is now being replaced by robots and machines. So that's kind of the uncomfortable side of this. But when you start to look at the aspect of this machine learning and all of the things it's doing, and the fact you can begin to map the brain, virtual realities are very big training tools that are going to be in the future. And what you're going to begin to see, and you're already seeing it in the most negative side from my point of view, virtual reality you put on those headsets that we call Xbox and game playing to a great extent. But DARPA, the Department of the Military that basically is training combat people, are programming that mindset right into the brain hardwired. And so you're creating, on the dark side of it, a soldier that basically doesn't think, just simply acts, just like the movies that you watch. On the other side of it, that aspect of virtual reality is able to cure PTSD. It's able to basically create levels of understanding and opportunities that have never been available before. So what is this new human going to look like in a lot of regards? And that's a place where I think a lot of us have to pay attention to what is it that we want and why are we here? What is our job being here? I have a lot of comments about that if you'd like.
Well, yeah, go ahead. I mean, what you're saying is very interesting because I've been doing a lot of research these last few weeks into augmented reality, virtual reality, artificial intelligence. And it sounds to me as though what they're going to be like is very much about how we support the programming that they're going to receive or not, as the case may be.
Absolutely. So you have three or four different levels of artificial intelligence. You have what is now being presented in the world, which is over the top from 5 years ago. Just look at your smartphone and the kind of things it's doing and what it's about to do is even going to be more advanced than what you're looking at right now. But one of the pieces of this that's really interesting is take a look at, let's just break it into four groups. You have the baby boomers, and then, or three groups. You have the Gen X, Y group, and then you have the millennials. But if you think about it, for those of us who kind of are in that baby booming generation, back in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, we were really excited about the Blu-ray children and the Indigo kids and the Rainbow kids and all these. Well, these are the millennials today. And the millennials today are exceptional in terms of a number of things and how they go about doing it. One of those things is that they don't, I'm saying this in a positive way, is they don't really hold the same values about work that many of us in the baby boom generation do. And when they say we want to travel, we want to hang out, we really don't want to do all that work. But baby boomers get upset. It's like, you should be responsible. But on the other hand, the baby boomers working two jobs, trying to support their family, haven't been on vacation for years, have a retirement or had a retirement program, and now they're coming to a particular point in life. And if you could stop and say, are you happy? Are you satisfied? Did you get what you were really promised? To a great extent, the answer is no. I worked my ass off to get here, and I'm not sure what I've got for it. So whereas the millennials, a lot of times, they're basically beginning to look at what is life all about. But when you start to weigh all of that, you have a very different mindset coming into a human consciousness. And it's got pros and cons. One of the great parts about the millennials is they're smart and they think in terms of not having to work so hard in a negative way. But at the same time, they don't have the experience to manage the direction. And what I watch with a lot of these young millennials that are working in the tech field, where many of them are working, they don't have the temperament to manage the experience. So it's like, well, let's push this AI a little further and a little further and a little further. This is where it's going to be very interesting going forward. It's a tempering that's required. From my point of view, from a spiritual standpoint, it's the baby boomers to a great extent who hold the dream of the new humanity. And it's the millennials that are coming in that are about to exercise the dream. And it's a really nice fit if it was understood in a manner to bring that fit forward. And I think that's the challenge that we're all watching in these next 5-10 years, pretty much, to bring about the consciousness into that AI machine learning aspect of the new humanity.
You know, back in 2003, when I launched Children of the New Earth magazine, and everyone was talking about the Indigo kids and the Crystal kids that were being born, and they were putting them on a pedestal, believing that these kids were coming as our saviors. Their generation would put everything right, you know, they'd save us from ourselves. Now they're grown, and they don't seem to share an interest in doing that. They're not going to save us. They're going to do what feels good for them.
Exactly, and rightfully so. So part of the piece that is really where lots of discussion is going to necessarily come about is how is the temperament of the next generation of artificial intelligence, the one that's really the important one called general artificial intelligence, That's where the machine learning begins to teach itself how to learn and really doesn't need the human. It hasn't gotten to the point where it doesn't care about the human in one way. It's basically learning. So what is the ethic or the moral or the consciousness that's built into that? And I think that's the place that the millennials and the elder folks, whether we've got it together or not is questionable, but how do we work that new consciousness into this aspect of this new humanity that we're very rapidly coming upon? And it's not something we want to stop 15 years from now and say, let's go back and do it again, because there is no going back this time.
So what can we do? What advice or suggestions can you offer to listeners? How can we let go of some of those old ideals and dreams and prepare ourselves for a future that bears no resemblance to our past projections?
Well, there's an interesting set of things, and I'm hoping Lee's going to talk about this because he did a brilliant job on his energy report this month about how do you pay attention to yourself in a way of a lot of us are healers and we give and we give and we give. And what about you? Where is that nature of you beginning to give to you? And Lee does a great job with these kind of areas. But I think going forward, one of the things that I'm real aware of is in a lot of the people that play in Mastering Alchemy, for example, not only do they hold the dream of Atlantis, which is a story for another day, but a very big, the dream of the fifth dimension, the well-being, the respect, dignity, appreciation, integrity, engagement, co-creating with one another. But going forward, one of the things that I'm aware of is a lot of these spiritual older people, not only do they hold the dream, they hold the capacity to bring that dream into a guided reality, not a directed reality, a reality where the light is so bright people simply choose to put their guns down because it doesn't make any sense to walk around with them. You're going to see that influence of many spiritual folks, younger people and older people, beginning to hold that ethic isn't the right word, but that guidance, that moral compass that basically draws consciousness from these higher aspects of the soul and creator into the mix that is going to bring about this new human species.
It's interesting how many new teachers are emerging that are from that generation. You know, they're in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, these are old beings. These are beings that come from different places that didn't play in that last 50 years of the game. And they come in that Blu-ray, Indigo, etc. They hold great wisdom, but the wisdom has to be drawn out through the experience of the bodies that they have. And I'm betting on it coming out on the right side, but it is not a guaranteed journey.
The energy of March, if we can call it that, I mean, the energy is so chaotic, it doesn't stay still for one moment. But it seems to me that it is definitely one of opportunity. Opportunity, as I said earlier, for reassessment and recreation, for looking at ourselves and what is it that we really want to do now.
I think so very much. It's very transitory right now, but very great opportunity. And this place of beginning to look at you and saying, how do I fit? And can I begin to discern in where I say hello to others and uplift and help, and where I can discern that saying hello actually doesn't help them at all? And again, I'm going to point to Lee. I'm changing his story, maybe not intentionally, but the ability to begin to recognize when it's helpful and when it's not helpful, and when is it yours and when is it not yours, and how do you begin to discern the action that you take in the next step that you take? I think that's the space we're going to see a lot of growth in this next 2-3 years, particularly as people try to begin to find themselves in a place where it's like, I don't care, I'm going to make money, or I'm going to go travel, I don't care about anybody else. Or the other side that says there's an opportunity that can be fulfilled here in a way that has never been presented at all. And that's the exciting part.
You know, those questions that we need to ask ourselves, some people may find some difficulty. You used to do, and I don't know if you still do, lots of webinars. I know you've got lots of free information on your website. On questions just like this, is there anything in particular that you could point listeners to who want some help with that?
Well, on the website, there's lots of those free webinars that are available for people choosing. We have free tools on the webinar site. There's a webinar coming up on March 8th that's really all about, Dorothy, you're not in the third dimension anymore kind of mindset. But what does that mean? How do you use your courage, your brain, your heart of the Tin Man in the Wizard of Oz kind of story? How do you begin to manage yourself to choose a direction that has upliftment for you as well as upliftment for others? And it really requires people, I think, to start to recognize themselves in the present moment, observing and then choosing an action, rather than I'm in such a hurry, I'm just going to shoot, ready, aim, and then wind up having to apologize for the results maybe later on. There's a lot of discernment and wisdom that is needing to be recognized as we go forward, but I think it's going to be a very exciting journey.
Jim, thank you for your contribution as always.
Oh, it's always my pleasure, Sandy. Look forward to talking to you next month.
Yeah, me too. You're listening to What Is Going On's Energy and Integration series. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and we'll be back after this break with energy guide, intuitive channeler, artist, author, and musician Lee Harris, whose monthly energy guides are viewed by hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. So don't go away.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, this is Dr. Donice Worden, and I'm excited to tell you about homeopathic injections from Hevert Pharmaceuticals. I utilize them in my practice for pain, inflammation, depression, and other medical conditions. I'm achieving excellent results, and I've seen no adverse reactions. I encourage you to explore these novel treatments.
Call Hevert today at 855-387-6466. To find a practitioner in your area to administer these FDA-registered medications. 855-387-6466.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Energy and Integration series, and welcome to Lee Harris. Lee, hello.
Hi, Sandy. Hi, great to be with you, and I love listening to everything you and Jim just talked about.
Well, it really seems to be a common theme again. I mean, you guys must be in sync with one another, because talking to you and Jim earlier and Susie, there is a thread that runs through tonight's show. You titled, as Jim alluded, you titled your March energy update, "The End of People Pleasing and the Time to Focus Forward." Tell me more about this.
Well, there's a couple of themes that I've noticed that I've been called to work on with people in the last year or two, and it very much revolves around light workers becoming light warriors. So if before you were all about wanting to see love and light in the world, or trying to bring it in more energetic ways or through your thoughts or your actions, this is really a time where the fire of your action has to come to bear too. So it means getting in your body, really paying attention to your senses and your feelings, and really allowing yourself to be human again, which is something that I know a lot of spiritual people get out of the habit of. Often people go to spirituality or have an awakening, and it's an alleviation to their trauma about life or their trauma about the conflict energy on the planet. And often what happens with those people is we get caught in people-pleasing. So I would argue that all of us, because we're on the planet, we all at some level have trauma about being on Earth, because it's a very up and down and can be a very jagged place. So it was so interesting. This theme of people-pleasing rose its head on the first night of my recent Energy Mastery Experience workshop in Portland, which is a 3-day, 3-night event, and it wouldn't leave the room. You know, there were over 80 people in the room, and it just wouldn't leave the room. So when I came to record the energy update a few days later, I realized how kind of worldwide this issue is right now for sensitive, that if we're only ever pleasing others and thinking that we're bringing temporary peace to other people, we have to now really question, are we really bringing peace, or are we just soothing a potential conflict outside us because we want a quieter or more comfortable life? So the end of people-pleasing is you getting honest about, do I really need to soothe that person's reaction, or was that person's reaction exactly what they needed to have, and now I have to act a different way or bring a different energy through myself in response, rather than run away from the conflict or think that I have to tolerate someone being aggressive toward me without perhaps saying to them, hey, that didn't feel very nice the way you just said that to me. So it really all revolves around this conflict energy, and sensitive and spiritually minded folk recognizing that our power where we're going next will not come to us if we get stuck in people pleasing.
It's interesting how the external always tends to mirror the internal, and we are seeing wonderful examples of people pleasing, you know, out there in the news all the time. You know, people unable to make decisions about guns because they're taking too much money and they've got to please, you know, the people that are putting that money in their pockets. This is just, you know, it's a wonderful mirror for us to realize, you know, where are we making decisions based on things that aren't really valid?
I agree. And I think what's been interesting for me personally in the world, watching what all of us have been seeing the last few years, is on the world stage, particularly in certain power positions in certain countries around the world, there seems to have been a rise of the bully, the archetype of the bully, and mm-hmm. somebody who isn't thinking about the feelings of everyone else, but is instead thinking about power, status, money, and not thinking in the humane way that we would like to see a leader of a country or, you know, a place think. So I think what that's done is it's really triggered a wave of healing within people, because I've heard this from the Z's many times. They say we're in a time of revolution, and I don't doubt that for a second. I think we're already seeing that happening around the world. I love seeing, you know, what happened with Standing Rock, which I think really points to what Jim was just saying about people of all ages coming together to stand for what's true and what's right, rather than profit-based destructive activities for our Earth at a time where we don't need to be destroying the Earth anymore. So I think this is this very strange position that we're in at the moment, because those power positions, those bullies, the inhumanity that we're seeing, at the moment they're still a bit untouchable to everybody. they're still a little bit at a distance. It's not a world that people know how to figure out. It's like, you know, how do we change this? People are asking, how do we change these positions, these people in these positions? But I think what is happening is an enormous healing wave. I think that the Me Too movement has directly come from having threatening figures in power positions. It's raised to the surface in people the part of them that goes, hang on a second, for many years I suffered and experienced abuse because I was people-pleasing the power, the people in power, or I didn't think I had any power against those people. So it's a very slow burn, but it's going to go all the way to the top. And it's, you know, over the coming 3 to 4 years, we're going to see this revolutionary energy rise, but it is starting within us first.
It's interesting how, I think Jim alluded to this, about how we are feeling it in our body. There are some things, you know, you get to a point, you hear something, you see something, you experience something again and again and again, and you're not happy with it. But one day you get to feel it in your body in a whole new way. And then you say, uh-uh. You know, I was so interested to hear yesterday about the owner of Dick's Sporting Goods that was selling, you know, rifles, saying, that's it, you know. That's it. The time has come. I can't allow this anymore. It's that, you know, breaking point that we reach, but it's very visceral.
Yeah, it is. And I also, I think it also what can be happening for people at the moment is a recoil from everything that's going on, because it's so, it can be very traumatizing, everything you're reading. I noticed myself when the Florida shooting, the school shooting happened, I took it in. And I had feelings about it, but it wasn't until yesterday when I read all the names of the victims that I really took it in. And I think at the moment there is just such a rolling mass of events that people are having to pick and choose where they are triggered or where they're feeling aligned. And I want to just say, because this is something that's come through the Z's a lot, don't worry too much about your own inability to save the world. They say that's really going round at the moment. The people who want to see the planet be a brighter, lighter place than it is are definitely struggling at the moment when they see things going on left, right, and center. You pick the cause that you are aligned with and that you can put your energy toward that day. But the message they keep saying is, within all of that, and in order to be able to be part of the revolution as you see it, you're also going to need to give yourself time to catch up with all of this, because, as you said, it's very visceral, it's very in the body, and the experience of walking through this time in our physical bodies and in our energy bodies is very different to what any of us could have conceived it would be 8 years ago when we were hearing prophecy about it that felt true to us. It's another thing to be on the ground going through this real shakedown in society, and what I've learned is if you do look after yourself, but also recognize it's a new time, so you're going to need to look after yourself in new ways, you actually have the energy to get behind the causes and the people and the situations that you feel aligned to. And that's also where the end of people-pleasing is crucial, because if you're only ever responding to everybody else's discomfort or suffering, you're going to be exhausted in the next few years, because it's going to go on all around us. What we have to do is trust our own body's responses to who and where we are supposed to be on any given day. And sometimes it's with us. Sometimes it's, okay, I just need an hour. I'm just going to sit quietly for an hour and restore my energy. Okay, now I can go back and read the article about Dick's Sporting Goods and see what I want to do about spreading the word about that or supporting that.
So give me some more examples of, you know, ways in which people can give themselves, because, you know, many people don't even know what it is they need. They just know they feel uncomfortable. You know, how can we discern what is what we need, and how, what ways can we look after ourselves?
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is many people who see themselves as the healer, the empath, the sensitive, the giver, or somebody who is striving to see the world be a better place, there is usually a kind of very subtle attack on your nervous system that is taking place as you are confronting some of those areas, energies, issues with people. And unless you're aware of this and you're supporting your own nervous system, it can lead to overwhelm, burnout, addictive tendencies, shutdown, all sorts of things. So I would say that the best place to start is to look at paying attention to what you're putting in your body and where you're taking your body and how it affects you. So, for example, maybe 4 glasses of wine feels great in the moment that you're having the 4 glasses of wine because you achieve a level of unconsciousness, which in the short term is a remedy to the overstimulation you experienced all day because you didn't have any time or breaks to yourself to feel how you were feeling, so you go for 4 glasses of wine. However, as we all know, that's not going to feel so good a couple of hours later, and certainly not the next morning. So if you find yourself burning out or going to extremes, just notice you're not giving your own nervous system enough time to catch up. And these are faster times, as you said, Sandy. So I always recommend just take 5 minutes to yourself a few times a day where you don't look at the phone, don't look at emails, certainly don't look at the Facebook newsfeed, and just sit with your eyes closed or stand with your eyes closed and just let yourself notice how you're feeling. It's something we're never taught to practice. We often don't do it. That will start to give you a sense of where you're at. So, for example, you may have come out of a very stressful family meeting, and if you take that 5 minutes, you'll go, wow, I feel really off. Okay, maybe I'm not going to go to my friend's divorce conversation now. This isn't the right time. So it's about noticing your own nervous system, and there are many ways to soothe it. Good nutrition, definitely moving the body, whether it's vigorous exercise or dancing around the house or going for a walk. Water is very good. Shower, bath, it breaks the electrical circuitry in the body. And nature is wonderful. So if you can find a quiet spot or even just be by a tree, all of these things help to kind of bring you back to your own inner senses, which our world is often inviting us away from and highly stimulating. So that's really the work for sensitives at the moment. It's managing to maintain that sensory core while the world around you wants to invite you to things that will desensitize you.
You write in this month's energy report about creativity being such an important act as a stabilizer. Say more about that.
Well, a long time ago, the guides that I channeled as these, they said, for those of you who have angelic energy running through you and need to see angelic energy, you have to be creating things that you see. So they said, it's great if you're a cook or a gardener and that's your act of creativity, or maybe you like to build things and that's your drive, great. They said, but for the rest of you who haven't identified with a practical creativity, do artistic pursuits. So whether you are making something with your hands, whether you are drawing, whether you are writing, whether you are painting, whether you are singing, they said it's very important for you to create something that you then see reflected back at you, because it's a way of moving energy, being creative. You know, we bring something through the body and into form. Dancing is an act of expressive creativity. And they said, if you don't create, you start to lose your affiliation with your own sense of expression. So I always say to anybody who's struggling to find their voice or to speak their truth, create things, even if it's just a 5-minute poem every morning that no one's ever going to see. It's really important to give yourself to that act as an act of therapy and an act of balance, if not something that you're going to share with the rest of the world. But that can be part of it too. You know, you share the creativity that you bottle some essence into and somebody else benefits from it because they go, oh, wow, I love that poem. I really identified with that poem and it's made me feel brighter. So creativity is not a luxury, it's a necessity.
You also say that along with the fact that the world is changing, our identities are changing. You know, giving up our identity, who we believe we are, is a really challenging thing to do.
It is, isn't it? And it's funny because I loved something Jim said about the older generation and the younger generation needing each other. Wonderful woman who came to my Costa Rica retreat last October. She was in her 60s, and when she arrived, she was feeling lost and purposeless. And as we went through the retreat and I asked her more questions, I learned she mentored young people. And she lit up when she talked about mentoring these young people. And it was so clear to me. I said, those young people need you, and you need them. They need you as much as you need them. They need your wisdom. And by the end of the retreat, she was a different woman. And I think unfortunately, we still have ageism in the way that we've all been trained, where there's a lot of focus on the young, and then kind of as Jim said, it's like, how do the older generations who were sold a certain story of what their life should be feel right now? And I think oftentimes they feel disenfranchised. So that was something that really struck me with Jim. And sorry, Sandy, I've digressed slightly, but your original question, please just remind me what that was, because I've gone off on a tangent.
Really? No, I mean, go where you're guided to go. I'm sure it's what we need okay. to hear. But I was asking about, you know, identities changing. It's very hard, especially if you've lived with it for a long time, as many of the baby boomers have, to let go of your identity.
Yes, and I think, like, when we're letting go of anything, the biggest mistake we can do is just try and let go of something without bringing something new in. It's like if you're trying to let go of an addiction, you have to bring something new in to replace the void that will be left by your habit or your practice. If you don't bring something new in at the same time, it gets very grief and loss focused. So I think that's the phase we're in as a world. There's a lot of that going around, dissolution, loss, change, people missing the past. I think it's why we're having such a rash of nostalgia movies and TV series popping up. So really, as that identity is changing, allow it to be, but don't just look at what you're losing in the change. Question what you might be gaining. So if you tried yoga 4 years ago and you really didn't like it, try it again, because you're very different 4 years later. So there's something about giving yourself to life, and that's really why the end of the message, the energy update, is focus forward. And this is a time to really focus forward and to try and create things in life. And if people want to hear the whole message, it's at my website, leeharrisenergy.com.
And while we're talking about what's on your website, I asked Jim what he had that people could go to. Can people also find things for free on your website that will help them with this?
Yes, we have many videos and blog posts, a great online course called Rebirth, which is perfect for anybody who's looking to transform, and many resources.
Lee Harris, that's all we have time for. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and insights with us today, and I'll see you next month.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you, Sandy. See you next month.
Thanks,
bye
Lee.
Bye, everyone.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, this is Dr. Donice Warden, and I'm excited to tell you about homeopathic injections from Hevert Pharmaceuticals. I utilize them in my practice for pain, inflammation, depression, and other medical conditions. I'm achieving excellent results, and I've seen no adverse reactions. I encourage you to explore these novel treatments.
Call Hevert today at 855-387-6466. To find a practitioner in your area to administer these FDA-registered medications. 855-387-6466.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom! Everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Energy and Integration series, and now it's time to hear from visionary speaker, author, telepathic communicator, multidimensional seer, and the founder of the groundbreaking Awesomism Practitioner Process and the Journey Back to Love series, Susie Miller. Susie Miller, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Susie, rapid change, shifting tides, and one opportunity after another to say yes to our new lives. This is what you're saying is in front of us in March. Tell us more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, time, it is a ticking along, isn't it? You know, it's like we're at quite a pace right now. And I think for many, there is this wonderful opportunity to kind of get reoriented into their next level of, I don't want to say service, because back to what Lee was saying, it's like this self-awareness is really important, and I want to get to that in just a minute. But I think that the truth is that for those of us who have kind of had our focus kind of internal, aware of self, conditioned to not react to the world, but respond to it. It seems like that population of people has just gotten kick-started. It's like they're ratcheting up into a new level of expression, I guess is a better way to say it than service. And for those individuals who are not yet quite getting kicked into that next level of self-expression, I think that March is really bringing along this opportunity to kind of slough off the debris, slough off the mud, whatever the encasement was of our old identities. That's really kind of being broken off at this point, one way or another. And so for some people, that initially can be very challenging and very painful, because we hold true to those identities, like you were just saying with Lee. I mean, we've known them for a very long time, and we don't give them up very easily. But the other side of that is, I think even the outward challenges, the outward discomforts, whether it's because we're looking at the news and watching what's happening, or because something else in our outer landscape is simply reflecting back to us that something's got to change, you know, I think the bigger picture is that we're getting this opportunity, if we haven't done it already, to really be aware of ourselves. Where do we react? Where do we respond? You know, what things are triggering to the place where we feel somehow paralyzed or traumatized by, you know, that experience? And can we invite ourselves, you know, again, back to what Lee was saying, back into those quiet moments within ourselves, so that, you know, it goes back to, you know, healer, know thyself, you know, healer, heal thyself. Be present to ourselves in our own awareness, so that we can learn how to navigate kind of this topsy-turvy kind of energy.
You know, both Jim and Lee alluded to the fact of generations, you know, getting together and supporting one another, mm-hmm. learning from one another. And you're somebody who has worked very closely with children, particularly the autistic population, and have channeled the collective consciousness mm-hmm. of the children. Do you have any messages to offer from them?
Yeah, I want to say two things about that. One, I want to address it from the collective consciousness of the children, but I also want to address it from a very practical application, which is, you know, yesterday I was having a conversation with four mothers and their nonverbal autistic young adult children. And I had reached out to them because in my next iteration or my next step up, you know, it's in the process of creating these awesomeism centers for energetically sensitive kids. And what was so fascinating to me is here is this population that looks like they're not functioning very well in the physical world, but you start tapping into the consciousness. They were sharing information through typing, facilitated communication and such. And there's this deep awareness in these younger populations of, especially these energetically sensitive types, there's this deep awareness that, yes, there something is dreadfully wrong. You know, something has to be reoriented to love, to compassion, to whatever. And these new kids, both through the collective consciousness of the children and these individuals that I'm talking with or communicating with on a regular basis, they're all kind of saying the same things. It's like something has to change, something has to alter. And when I go and I ask, okay, well, how? What would you like us to be doing, this older generation? What should we be doing? And it's always the same answer. Inside. Know yourself. Go back to you. Be present with you. Understand your own programming, your own reactions and responses. And when you know that, then what ends up happening is as different experiences arise in any given moment, you know, so Sandy Hook happens, right? And there may be an internal drive to do something. Well, if we do something from a place of reaction, what these kids are saying is we're probably just adding to the issue. But if we do something from a place of response, from a place of awareness, then we have a tendency to be that little ray of sunlight, you know, in a fairly dark experience. And so sometimes, you know, this is where somebody gets motivated to go and stand at the school and just be present there, just be kind of, just be with oneself in that environment. Maybe somebody goes and has a conversation with somebody about guns or about that, but they do it not from a place of rage or anger or those kinds of things. They do it from a place of, this is my response. And I truly believe that our responses to anything are really vested or really, what do I want to say? They're contingent on our ability to be completely present with ourselves, right? So you can go into any situation, and if you can stay with yourself, you will absolutely elevate the energy of that situation, right? So we don't have to, I think sometimes we get so caught up in kind of what I'm going to call kind of the spiritual 10 steps. You know, this is what we've got to do. This is what we should do. And what if it really is just simply about being aware of ourselves, meeting each opportunity with a yes? If we're in reaction, we're not meeting that opportunity with a yes, right? We're meeting it with no, resistance. I can't do it.
You know, Susie, yes, it does. And I would add that people, especially what are called light workers, for want of a better word, people who have been on a spiritual path for a long time, you know, often you will find that those people are energetically sensitive themselves. Often, and you mm-hmm. you know this because you have created programs to help
well,
with this.
Yes.
Yes, that people, yeah. People,
and
you know, they get
myself,
distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get distracted from being with themselves. They choose to distract themselves from being with themselves because mm-hmm. being with themselves is an comfortable place to be. They would rather be out there in the multidimensional world doing all the wonderful things that they do. They would rather be tapping into all the other energies rather than just sitting with themselves. So your program, Journey Back to Love, you know, you created that to help just those kinds of people. Can you give us some practical tips? You know, I'm not asking you to share your whole program with us, but is there something that you could give us as a takeaway that will actually help us make it more comfortable to go within and be with ourselves?
Well, I'm not going to promise to make it more comfortable because I think that's that is the illusion right there, right? That's why, as you say, people stay out in multidimensional world. They stay out in love and light world. And it's a beautiful place. I spent a lot of time there. You know, it's like, I loved that for a really long time. But so I'm not going to promise that it's not going to be, uncomfortable. But what I am going to promise is that as people really allow what arises to arise, their indignation at the way this planet seems to be functioning right now, or their frustration that, you know, even though they've had all of those amazing multidimensional experiences, that they still find it really challenging just to love themselves and other people in their lives, right? You know, just daily living kinds of things. So the trick, if you want it to be a trick, is really just to be present to what shows up. And instead of running away from it in any way, shape, or form, even if you just give yourself a couple seconds to feel into it. And by feeling, I mean there's no story. It's like you're simply just being with what is. You're being with what that feeling energy is. Just to notice it. What's it doing in your body? What is it trying to create in your mind? What tightens up? What, you know, all of those kinds of things. Just so you're aware. In the moment that you give yourself that opportunity to be aware, something clears. And I'll tell you, I've been talking to some amazing people over the last few days about our unconscious. And let me tell you, I mean, even when we get to be very more spiritually oriented, in my view, that outer landscape, okay, now it's turned to kind of like a more spiritual orientation. But that spiritual orientation is still going to bring up certain, you know, you can talk to a bunch of spiritual people all day long. You can talk to a bunch of, you know, perceived heathens all day long. It's still going to bring something up, right? It's still going to bring something to the surface. And those are the energies or the awarenesses that if we'll be present with them, we open up this bigger and bigger space of response. And if we're in a space of response, let me tell you what, we can move mountains. Yeah. You know, I mean, we can really alter the realities that we find ourselves in pretty amazing ways. But it takes us actually being present to sometimes the very thing that we don't want to be present to. But if people will do this, even just, like you say, if you're going to sit down for 5 minutes a day, sit down and just be present with those irritations. Be present with those frustrations. You know, I mean, there are days where, you know, I find myself just crying for no reason at all. And then you find out that there's been some shooting or something's happened in the world that's not very pretty. So most will then, like Lee was saying, we go for the wine, we go for the chocolate, we go for whatever it is that will make that feel better. But what if we actually just sat in the presence of that sorrow, sat in the presence of that heaviness, and felt it for a second? Because I guarantee, as empaths, also there's this awareness that we're not just feeling it for our own sake. We're feeling it because there's millions and billions of people out there who aren't willing to feel. And as energetic sensitives, I think really what energetically sensitive means is that there's this population of people that are willing to feel, right? They're willing to feel to a greater degree or have greater sensitivity to what the stimuli than the average population. So if that's something innate within each and every one of us anyway, we can actually, we're good at feeling, we're good at noticing that, then why not make that part of our practice and contribution to humanity?
Thank you, Susie. I want to close your segment with some words that I saw in your newsletter today. You say that as we set out into new and exciting territory, remember that you've already developed all the skills you need. So you need only be yourself. I think it's worth thinking about that a little bit. You know, it just sounds like another sentence, but that sentence is filled with truth and power. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
For more information about Jim Self's latest book, A Course in Mastering Alchemy, his programs, webinars, visit masteringalchemy.com. Full details of Lee Harris's work is available at leeharrisenergy.com. And for details of Susie Miller's new online Awesomism Practitioner Process, the Journey Back to Love series, and monthly energy balance and integration sessions, visit susiemiller.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. That's it for tonight's Energy and Integration show. I hope you'll join us again on April 5th. Till then, it's goodbye from me.